Well, as some of you know, I've spent a good portion of this summer working on a chicken run at our house. We picked up 7 chickens 3 months ago, and they need a permanent predator-safe home. Before we started building this chicken run to attach to our coop, the basic plan seemed simple. Sketch the outline of where it needs to go, set some 4x4 posts, fill it with concrete, make sure they're deep enough so that the frost hopefully doesn't push them up too much. Add the framing, put the metal roof on, attach the fencing, build a door. We can make plans. Seems simple, right? But I have learned that simple does not necessarily mean easy. Simple does not necessarily mean easy. First of all, the ground in our backyard where the structure is being built isn't very level, like not at all. I tried to choose the straightest lumber, but it's not perfect, right? There's little imperfections with the lumber. Detailed measurements matter, as does the order in which you do things. One decision can affect the next 5 steps in your project. And not having a detailed blueprint, which I didn't have, I was doing this kind of step by step, making it up as I go, means that you need to be flexible and pivot where ideas don't work out as you planned. Sometimes you finish part of the project, step back, look at it, and realize that something needs to be adjusted, or maybe completely taken apart and start over again. The plan is simple to explain, but carrying it out requires time, lots of time, more time than you expect. It takes effort, patience, sacrifice, and endurance. Last week, some of us were in Stuartville, Minnesota for the preteen camp at Ironwood. The theme for this past week was Be My Disciple and Follow Me, based on Luke 9, verse 23. Throughout the week, the campers heard lessons about being disciples of Jesus Christ. They participated in activities, worked together, served one another, and they were encouraged to follow Christ. It was a simple theme, easily understood by everyone. Be my disciple and follow me. But just like building that chicken run, something can be simple to understand without being easy to see through and put into action. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We'll read Luke 9 and verse 23. And again, this was the theme from camp last week. Luke 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." See the progression here. Deny yourself, step 1. Step 2, take up your cross daily. Not a one-time event, but daily. And step 3, follow me. Simple, right? Following Christ is not merely agreeing with him. It's not just knowing who he is. It's not the book knowledge. There's an action being described here. It's not just being near followers of the way. Following Christ means allowing him to determine the direction of our lives. The title of my message today is Follow Me, Simple but Not Easy. Follow Me, Simple but Not Easy. Here are a couple of examples of things that are simple, but not easy. Going to bed earlier. Simple, right? Simple advice. But somehow at 11:47 p.m. becomes the perfect time to research whether chickens recognize their owners. What about being patient, right? Just be patient. Simple concept. Difficult to always put into practice, though. How about this one? Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Living it out might be another matter, a little bit more difficult to do that. So let's consider 3 lessons we can learn from Luke 9:23 about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about 3 concrete examples here in Luke 9:23. The first lesson is to obey when Christ calls. Obey when Christ calls. The second thing we'll talk about is to count the cost of following him. We need to count the cost. And the third lesson is to remain faithful when following becomes hard. Remain faithful when following becomes hard. So number 1, obey when Christ calls. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We're going to read a couple of verses in Luke chapter 5. Peter here gives us an important example of what it means to follow Christ. In verses 4 through 5. Jesus here had been teaching beside the Sea of Galilee, and when he finished speaking, he told Peter to take the boat from the shallower waters and to go deeper. Right? Go to those deeper waters. Let's read Luke 5, verses 4 and 5. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And verse 5, "But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.'" Nevertheless, at your word. Peter was an experienced fisherman. He understood the lake and his boat, his nets, his equipment. They had already worked through the night and had caught nothing. His experience told him there were no fish to catch. He could have said, "Hey, I appreciate the suggestion, but we've already tried this. It's already been done. You understand the teaching, Christ, but I understand fishing, right? This isn't the right time, or, you know, maybe the shallow water is where we catch fish. We're not going to catch anything out in the deep." But instead, Peter said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will. At your word, I will." That might be one of the clearest descriptions of discipleship in the Bible. Peter didn't pretend that his experience didn't matter. He said, "We've toiled all night, caught nothing," but he didn't allow his experience to become a hindrance to the higher authority of Christ, the word of Jesus Christ. He said, "Go to the deeper water." He'd already been working all night. I'm sure he was tired. Probably wasn't his first choice of things to do, but he did it. He followed. Experience can be valuable. Our experience can be valuable. God expects us to learn wisdom through our experience, and we should consider that. But our experience can also become a roadblock if it causes us to believe that we know better than God. We've done this thing X number of times. We see the same results. Why would we do it again? Right? At your word, I will. But again, we can think, "I've already tried this. I know how this situation works. Your instruction doesn't seem practical. It doesn't seem logical. I don't understand." Which raises an important question for all of us. Will we obey God only when his instructions agree with our experience? Or will we say, "Nevertheless, at your will, I will, dot, dot, dot. At your word, I will, fill in the blank." Is it easier to obey God when we can immediately see the benefit and it makes sense based on our experience, or when his instructions go against what we want, what we feel, what we might believe will work? It's easier to obey when we can immediately see the benefit, right? It's a rhetorical question. It's harder if it doesn't make sense. It's not always going to make sense. Forgiving someone might not feel reasonable. Holding our tongue might not feel satisfying. Keeping the Sabbath can interfere with something that we want to do. Tithing might not make sense on paper, right, as we're putting together our monthly budget. Serving someone might not seem convenient. Waiting on God to answer our prayers in his time might not fit our preferred timeline. Even like food laws, for example, maybe, you know, doesn't make sense. We really like a ham and cheese sandwich. That doesn't make sense not to eat ham, for one example, or pepperoni pizza. But discipleship means that Christ's word has the final say. Peter moved into deeper water. He let down the net. The catch was so great that the net began to break, and they called in for help. It says in the next couple of verses that both of their boats, right, the boat of Peter's and his companions and the boat of their partners became filled with so many fish that they began to sink. It's a lot of fish. Two boats start sinking. Jesus told Peter in verse 10 of Luke 5, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." Notice Peter's response in verse 11. In Luke 5, verse 11. "So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all." And what did they do? They followed him. They followed Christ. Peter heard. He saw what Christ was doing. he acted. He saw Christ's power and he followed. Following Jesus doesn't mean that we don't have any questions, that we don't have any fear, that we don't have uncertainty. Peter didn't understand everything. Faith does not mean that we will always feel confident or have all the answers. It does mean that we trust the one giving the instructions enough to act on his word. Placing God's word above our own judgment is not hard to understand. It's simple, but it's not always easy. A disciple learns to say, "Nevertheless, at your will, at your word, I will." Nevertheless, at your word, I will. Placing his word above our own judgment. Let's obey when Christ calls. All right, so point number two. The second lesson we can take from Luke 9:23. Count the cost of following him. Count the cost. Let's look at Luke chapter 14. Please turn with me over to Luke chapter 14. At this point, large crowds were following Jesus. There was excitement around his ministry. Word was spreading. People had witnessed healings, miracles. They had heard powerful teaching from Christ. But Jesus did not want people following him only because it was exciting to be part of the crowd. He wanted them to understand what being a disciple would require. Luke 14 and verse 26. Let's read verse 26. Jesus said that anyone who comes to him must hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and even their own life. That's Luke 14, verse 26. Jesus was not commanding us to despise our families here. That would contradict his command to love others and honor our parents. He was teaching that our love and loyalty for God and to God must be greater by comparison. No relationship, not even our closest human relationship, can be placed ahead of God. Let's continue in verse 27. So Luke 14, verse 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Then Christ gives an illustration in verses 28 through 30. Let's keep reading here in verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." This illustration really hits home to me again with my recent work on the chicken run. Before beginning a building project, you need to consider what's going to be required. Not only the monetary investment, the time, like I said, it takes so much more time than you expect. Do I have enough lumber? Do I have the right tools? Can I borrow the tools I don't have? How much roofing? How much fencing? How much time, like I said? And then double and triple it. What happens if I get halfway through and discover I didn't properly plan for the door, the slope, the roof, etc.? Starting is easy. Finishing requires commitment. We can also consider that being finished, something can be finished in the sense that we stopped working on it without being complete. I haven't finished the fencing. I haven't completed this whole run. I'm hoping to finish it tomorrow. But it's not complete at this point. I could call it finished. My chickens would be running all over the place because I haven't finished the fence. Jesus doesn't want us to begin following him and then stop when discipleship becomes inconvenient. He tells us to understand the commitment in verse 33 of Luke 14. Let's read verse 33 of Luke 14. Verse 33 says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." So again, he's not saying we should abandon our family, our home, every physical possession, but he is saying that nothing can be held back from God. We can't be all in with God except this one little area of our life that's still ours. Everything must come under his authority. Our relationships, our time, our possessions, our plans, even our own lives. Following Christ does not mean adding him somewhere within the life we already have decided to live. Following Christ means surrendering our life to him. Really becoming that new person, that new creation. Eternal life is God's gift, made possible through the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to be very clear here. We cannot purchase eternal life by making sacrifices. We cannot earn salvation by works. But we need to count the cost, right? We need to decide whether we're willing to give up anything that would stand between us and God. Everything is God's. We're simply stewards of it. For someone considering baptism, that cost must be seriously considered. For those of us who've already been baptized, it's a commitment that we must remember and renew daily. Every day we take up our cross. Which brings us back to Luke 9:23, right? Take up his cross daily and follow me. Every day we wake up and we decide again, will God come first while I obey him and surrender my will to his? The invitation is simple, but the total commitment is not easy. We need to count the cost and be sure that God and his will comes first in our lives. All right, the third lesson in Luke 9:23 we can take is to remain faithful when following becomes hard. Remain faithful when following becomes hard. Let's look at John chapter 6 and verse 53 here. Please turn with me over to John chapter 6. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus has miraculously fed thousands of people. He's filled their bellies. The people enjoyed the physical bread that he provided. Many followed him because they had eaten and they were filled, but Christ redirected their attention from physical bread to spiritual life. Let's read John 6 and verse 53. John 6 and verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Christ was not telling them to literally eat his body here. Of course, he was teaching that eternal life is possible only through his sacrifice, through Christ's sacrifice. His body would be given for us, his blood would be shed for the forgiveness of sin. We recognize this meaning in the New Testament Passover symbols of bread and wine. But there is an ongoing lesson here too. Jesus called himself the bread of life. We must take his word, his thinking, his way of life into us. Matthew 4:4 says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Physical food, if we think about it, we had breakfast, we probably had lunch today. It's not a one-time event. It's not a one-time meal. We don't eat physical food sustenance one time, and we can't eat one meal and expect it to sustain us forever. In the same way, we cannot survive spiritually on last Sabbath's Bible study, or last year's feast, or even last week's camp experience. We must take in the word of God daily. That again connects to Luke 9:23. But the people listening to Jesus back in John 6 did not understand. If we read verse 60 of John 6 says, "Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?'" Notice here that they were called disciples. Christ called these people his disciples. They had been following Jesus, but his teaching became difficult to understand. It challenged them. They didn't immediately understand what he meant. Let's read in verse 66 what happens here. John 6, verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." They left. They didn't understand. Things got hard, difficult. They didn't remain. When the miracles were exciting, they followed. When the physical bread was available, they filled their bellies, and they followed. When Christ's teaching became hard, they left. They were not entirely devoted. We can take a lesson here. We need to be wholly devoted, entirely devoted to Christ. So reading on in verse 67, let's not stop there. Let's read on and see what Christ said here to his disciples, to the 12, to the apostles. Jesus turned to the 12 and asked in verse 67, "Do you also want to go away?" He gave them a choice. Christ did not force anyone to remain with him. He doesn't force us to remain with him. He gave them a choice. Peter answered in verse 68 through 69 of John 6, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter did not claim to understand everything Jesus had just said, but Peter knew Jesus and trusted him. This is vital to discipleship. We don't need to fully understand what God is doing. In fact, oftentimes we don't. We can ask things like, why is healing not happening on my timeline? There will be prayers that appear unanswered, trials that go on longer than we expected, and teachings that require deeper study. And like I said, some things we will never understand. But it's not about head knowledge. It's not about us understanding. It's about us taking action. And there may be times when following Christ costs more than we expected. There will be times when following Christ costs more than we expect. But in those moments, we can return to Peter's question. Lord, to whom shall we go? What's the alternative? In those moments, we can come back and think about this. Do we go back to the world, back to the old person we were trying to leave behind, back to relying on ourselves? There is nowhere better to go. Jesus Christ is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. We're not expected to follow him through self-discipline and human determination alone. Philippians 2 verse 13 came to mind here. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's Philippians 2 verse 13. God works in us through his Spirit. He helps us want what is right. He helps give us the strength to act on what is right. Following Christ is not easy, but we are not left to do it alone. So, last week at Camp Ironwood, the theme was Be My Disciple and Follow Me. And today we reviewed three lessons about being a disciple of Jesus Christ that we can learn from Luke 9:23. Number one was obey when Christ calls. Nevertheless, at your word, I will fill in the blank. Fill in the blank, right? When our experience tells us something different from God's instruction, at your word, I will. Surrender to God's word and be wholly devoted, placing his word above our own judgment and our own experience. Number two, the second lesson was to count the cost of following him. When we recognize that discipleship carries a cost and it isn't always easy, we can remember that God and his will comes first. Camp ended, everyone returned home to regular schedules and no more responsibilities last week. Jesus didn't say, follow me when things are easy. When we're at camp, when everything is structured, Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. And the third lesson, remain faithful when following becomes hard. When the lesson is difficult, the trial continues, when we don't understand what God is doing, let's remember John 6, verse 68. Lord, to whom shall we go? What's the alternative, right? You have the words of eternal life. Romans 8:31 asks, if God is for us, who can be against us? This doesn't mean that we're not going to face trials in this life. In the same chapter in Romans 8, it mentions tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, danger. But none of those things can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. So the invitation is simple. Be my disciple, follow me. The path is not always easy. But God is for us, Jesus Christ is leading us, and God's Spirit strengthens us. So, not only at camp, and not just on the Sabbath, but every day, let our answer be, I will be your disciple, and I will follow you. Jesus Christ's instruction to follow him is simple to understand, but being his disciple requires us to place his word above our own judgment, to count the cost, and to continue following him when the way becomes difficult. Jesus Christ says, follow me. Simple, but not easy.